Open up. I'm going to say just a word or two here, maybe, but you'll seem like the Lord's just, as he always does, just sort of orchestrates whatever he wants to, and we want to be mindful of him. So if you got your Bible, let's open up to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts chapter 27, and you find that place. If you're able, you stand with us. We'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter 27, I was thinking whenever Brother Jesse was testifying and singing rather about Mercy Walked In. I was watching a video earlier today, and this fellow was talking about back in the 60s. He was teaching what they called a soul winner's class, and he said, here's what you do. He said, if you get a hold of somebody and they ain't hardly right there, he said, you just put your hand on their shoulder, and he said, you just squeeze a little bit, and say, you just pray after I pray, and said, if you get there and they ain't praying, said, you just give them a little squeeze, and he said, and I'll promise you, they'll start praying. And I'll tell you, as soon as that happened, preacher, I got to thinking, I never did feel a man's hand squeeze me that night, but I thank God before man ever got a hold of me, the Holy Ghost did. Amen. Hey, friend, it don't work like that. Everybody in this church understands that. It's not a man squeezing. It's not a man's prayer. Sinner's prayer is nowhere in your Bible. You just bow your heart before God. Call on the name of Christ. Believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. Acts chapter 27. I'm going to read a few verses, and I'll be honest with you. There's probably not very many passages that I enjoy preaching out of more than I enjoy Acts chapter 27. Bible said in verse number 13, said, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. When the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And boy, I like verse 20. I'm telling you, it's one of them verses just stirs my heart. He said, when neither sun nor stars in many days appear, and no small tempest lay on us, that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I find great consolation in the fact that Luke and the Apostle Paul had struggled like we struggle sometimes. I don't know if that helps anybody else, but thank God that stirs my soul to know that these times, even in the great men of God's life, that they're standing there and they say, man, we ain't seen the sun, we ain't seen the stars, all hope is taken away. But boy, that next verse says this, but after long abstinence, the Bible said Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and yet to have gained this harm and loss. Said, now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of a man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Oh, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Notice this last verse. The Bible said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, one more time. And the Lord, I thank you for the good spirit that we felt in our heart. Thank you for the good songs of sight. I thank you, Lord, just driving over here. And God, just the Holy Ghost pounding in my heart. I thank God to face storms of life. And then we get here, Lord, and there's testimonies of it. And then there's song after song of it. And Father God, I thank you tonight. And Lord, that there might be a few storms on this side. But I thank God that it's fair sailing on the other side. I'm glad, Lord, that they shall no more sea. And so there'll be no more storm. I'd ask you for a few minutes of time tonight. And Lord God in heaven, that you would help me. I pray, Lord, we don't want to do anything without the aid of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that you'd anoint us afresh tonight. God, give us good, clear direction. And help us not to say nothing dumb nor foolish, nor out of the way. God, we'll do the best we can. I promise you, Lord, I'll do the very best that I can. God, to try to honor you with the word of God tonight. And I pray that you'll help the church. Father, we love you. We thank you. Ask you all these favors in the lovely name of Christ. Amen and amen. And most of you no doubt familiar with this passage of scripture. But the Apostle Paul's getting ready to be shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta there. And long after that, be put in Rome. Locked up for 2 more years on house arrest. And then he's going to be beheaded for the cause of Christ. We've got here really in his life. It's the one last big storm. I'll be honest with you. I personally believe that this is the devil trying to throw him off course. But I thank God no matter what his plan is, God already made a plan. I'll tell you why I believe that, AJ. Because when the Spirit of God stood by him that night, the angel of God stood there. He said, sir, you must be brought before Caesar. And so I think that that tempestuous wind was probably stirred up to try to throw him off the course. But thank God, even whenever the devil thinks he's throwing us off the course, I'm glad God's always got us on course. Amen. And so if you'll just pray for us for a minute, I got to praying over this. And the Lord got to deal in my heart. I ain't never preached like this before. And I'll be honest with you, you just pray. It's almost out of my character. But I'm going to try to just highlight what I feel like the Lord have for us. I want you to notice in verse number 1. Here's what the Bible said. He said, when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, he said they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And notice in verse 3. He said, the next day we touched at Sidon. He said, and Julius courteously entreated Paul, gave him liberty to go to his friends and to refresh himself. At verse 6 it says, and there the centurion, speaking of Julius, found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us therein. At verse 11, nevertheless the centurion, speaking of Julius. At verse 31 it says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. At verse number 43, the Bible said, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. I want you to notice this man. He appears in this scripture 6 times, and every time you find him, there's something else that's going on. I thought about Julius as a man, and maybe not a familiar man as far as most folks are concerned. Julius is never going to be a question on a Bible exam. He's never going to be a lesson, probably in a Sunday school class. But I'll tell you what God done for it. He preserved his name eternally in the Word of God. Amen. That must have meant something to God. I thought about this as the Apostle Paul is getting ready to go out in jail. He has committed him under Julius's hand. And I'm going to ask you something. I want everybody just to hang tight with me right here. Do you reckon that God had just gave the Apostle Paul over to anybody? Or would you suppose with me that one of his choicest vessels was probably in the hands of somebody that he had ordained long ago? Amen. I'll say this to you, friend. There's no doubt. And even whenever we're given over into bondage, even when they're in the hands of the enemy, I'm glad God's got all of that ordained. Amen. Well ahead of time. Amen. I want you to watch this. I start noticing there's different traits, different characteristics that seem to be demonstrated in the life of Julius. And then one thing led to another. I'm just taking you through how my study would work, all right? One thing sort of led to another as just praying over and just asking the Lord. And then it just, brother, now listen, I'll be very careful here, but I felt very much impressed of the Lord that this is what we're trying to get across tonight, is that in the characteristics of Julius, we find the same characteristics that are in a good church. Amen. I want to preach on this thought. Thank God for a church that'll help you right out the storm. Amen. Thank God
God for a church that'll help you ride out the storm. I'm going to be honest with you. That sometimes folks, hey, so Brother Derek Stewart, he even says it like this. I'll tell this on myself. That Brother Derek Stewart was calling me, was talking one time. He said, Brother Kevin, he said, I tell people, he said that Brother Kevin's Brother Sour Patch. And said they some sweet parts. I bet you're going to have to endure a little bit of sour too. Amen. But I want to say this, friend. Everything I got tonight is just to try to encourage the Lord Jesus Christ's bride. Amen. I thank God for the church. Amen. I thank God for the church. I'm glad God established it. I'm glad the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I thank God for the church. I thank God for praying people. I thank God for praising people. I'm glad for smiling people. I thank God for shouting people. I'm glad for folks in fellowship. I'm glad for the church. Amen. I'm glad for the loud members. I'm thankful for the quiet ones. I'm glad for those, thank God, that'll help you. And I thank God sometimes, even for those that ain't trying to. Amen. Listen, friend. I thank God for the church. And you say, preacher, what about those that ain't trying? Hey, there's a time in my life I wasn't trying to help nobody. There's a time in my life, thank God, I was coming in the house of God, and I wasn't singing no hymns, thank God. I was trying to figure out how fast I could get out of there. But thank God, I'm glad, amen, that the church kept on meeting, amen, and the folks kept on praying, and the preacher kept on preaching, and one night the sweet word of God penetrated my heart, and I was no longer wanting to get out. I was interested in getting in, amen. I thank God for the church, amen. I want you to watch this. Hey, you stay with me just a minute. I'll try not to preach real long, but I'll try to get done if I can. How you pray the Lord help us. And the first thing I want you to notice about this, and the verse number one, it's the Bible said that Julius was a centurion. He was a centurion. I got thinking about that. That must mean that he was faithful. Amen. How would you agree with that? Thank God. How you don't get to be a centurion. How you don't get to be over top of people. And Brother Savage, without being faithful. And I want to just stop for a minute and say I thank God for the folks that are faithful to the house of God. Amen. Listen, thank God. Ain't much to be said in our day for folks that just keep on being faithful. Amen. And when everybody's trying to, I told the folks, this fellow told me the other day, I said, Brother, listen, I said, you been born again? He said, yeah, I'm born again. I said, where you go to church at? And he went like this. We're standing outside, and he went like this. He said, the woods are my church. I said, the only problem is that's not so. Amen. God didn't die for the woods. Amen. Amen. Thank God. God didn't die for the lake. He didn't die for the old tree stand. But thank God, he purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. I'm glad that God, I'll tell you this. Amen. Thank God. I'll tell you this in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. When he wrote 7 letters, he didn't write them to the woods. Amen. Thank God, friend. He didn't send them to your local house. He didn't publish them on Facebook. He didn't send them to TBN. But thank God, he sent them to a local church and a local pastor. Where and when? Amen. I thank God for the church. Amen. Hey, some folks, now listen. I know these people oftentimes have they get overlooked. But I want to say this. I thank God for the folks in the church. It'll help you ride out the storm. And just faithfully keep praying for you. Faithfully, amen. I thank God lifting your hands up. I faithfully thank God encouraging you all. Hey, some men in this Bible, and if their name don't ring is true, as Peter, James, and John. But I tell you what, I got thinking about some of them. Let me just help us for a minute. I got thinking about Epaphras. Boy, that rolls off your tongue, don't it? Amen. But when the Apostle Paul pins down about Epaphras, he said he's a faithful minister. Amen. Boy, I like it when you get to reading about old Onesiphorus. Amen. There's another good Bible word in the book of Colossians chapter 4. He talks about Onesiphorus, and he said he's a faithful brother. I thought about over there that I forgot the church. It left me just yet. But over there, you can read it, Revelation 2 and 3. Thank God. And this is what you find. He said, my faithful martyr, Antipas. Amen. I'll tell you this. Now listen, that may not mean much to you, but I'll tell you this. Whenever it comes time to check out of here, wouldn't you like that to be said? Wouldn't you like it, Chase, for the Lord to say, faithful Chase. Amen. Wouldn't you like that, Brother Joe? And for the Lord to say, there's old faithful Joe. Amen. There's old faithful Bobby. Thank God. I mean, I don't know about nobody else. But now listen, if there's one thing it'd be good to be known for in the church, it'd be to just be faithful. Amen. I thank God for it. Hey, listen, if they wasn't faithful people, that church never would make it through the storm. Amen. But oh, thank God. I'm glad that folks just keep on being faithful. Amen. I mean, now listen, I know this. I know there's some folks in your Rockladons, and there's some folks where the winds are blowing softly. And I'll tell you what I found out. When the winds are blowing softly, friend, and just be faithful to bear those up who's going through your Rockladon. Hey, listen, it'll come your turn sooner or later. Amen. And somebody look up here at me. It'll not always be soft sailing in your life. And the wind will not always be blowing smooth in your life. And you'll get some news sometimes that my friend will shock you to your core and break down your home and rattle your heart and mess with your mind. And thank God you'll come crawling into the church and you'll think to yourself, if I can just get down on an altar, I know that I'll have some folks in church that's going to be faithful and to help me pray and bear my burdens. Amen. Thank God for the church. Amen. I'm saying this, I thank God. He said this about it. He said, listen, he's a centurion. That must mean he's faithful. I want you to watch the next thing you find about it. In this passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 27, it says this. In verse number 3, it said, the next day we touched his side. He said, and Julius courteously entreated Paul, and he gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. I tell you, not only is he Julius the centurion, hey, but thank God he's Julius the courteous. I'll tell you this, to thank God for faithful people, but I thank God for friendly people. Amen. Somebody look up here at me. Amen. I thank God for friendly people in the church. Amen. I ain't in a sight that you go to some churches and most unfriendliest people in the whole world that you ever met. I mean, they look at you when you walk in the door like you had 8 heads and they're concerned you're going to take their seat. Amen. And boy, I thank God. Y'all say amen. You know that's right. Hey, listen, friend. I remember as a young preacher, Brother Scotty, I went and I can still remember, I can take you to the church. Brother Bobby, where I sat was where you were sitting. And this lady just come, and she just sat just like this right here. And I offered her a piece of candy, and she didn't take it, and she just kept staring at me just like this right here. I said, ma'am, you doing all right? And finally the pastor said, young man, you're in her seat. I thought, thank God, I thought I got out of school. Amen. I know we had assigned seats in the house of God. And now I know, listen, I know we like to sit where we like to sit. I understand that, thank God. But I'm talking about this. Aren't you glad to be in a friendly church? Amen. I mean, where folks, amen. That don't, praise God. I mean, I like to be around folks that are happy in the Lord. Amen. I mean, to be happy everywhere else. I thank God, ain't it good to be happy in the Lord? I mean, listen, I'll tell you this, it'll help you when you're preaching. Amen, thank God. That you look back and everybody's not sucked on persimmons all day long. I mean, it'll help you, thank God. And when somebody is smiling a little bit and they're saying, thank God, that's helping me. Don't that help you, Brother Matt? I mean, whenever they're not, somewhere between looking at their watches and bobbing their heads, that's good to get a smile and amen every now and then. Amen. And thank God on that one, praise God. I'm just saying I'm glad to be in a friendly place. I'll tell you what it does. It does what the Bible says Julius did. It said that he allowed his friends to come and that they might refresh him. Amen. That they might refresh him, thank God. It's refreshing to be in a church full of friendly people. Amen. I mean, to be around folks that are smiling. And when they get to singing about heaven's jubilee, and they look like they're wanting to go. Amen. And when when they sing "What a Day That'll Be," as smiles cross their face and tears fall from their eyes and they get to thinking about heaven. I mean, listen, that's good. Oh, I tell you, thank God. Are you glad you've been around some folks? I mean, you ever been in a storm and some people from your church just encourage your heart, and before long you're just ready to keep on riding out the storm, amen. And you thought, well, I don't know. As they sing that song, I don't know if I can make it. But thank God, I'm glad. And one day at a time, when the help of the Lord. Listen, look, everybody look at me right here. Let me say this. You know there's a fella in the Bible, that the whole thing that's ever written about him is how he addicted himself to the ministry of the saints and how he refreshed their spirit. His name's Stephanus. And that's the only thing he did. And so he just went by and he said, "Brother, how you looking like you ain't fresh? You feeling fresh, amen?" And he'd say, "Hey, Brother Matt, what about over there? Hey, you remember on that Passover day and before long, and get talking about the Lord, you just walk out of their presence and you'd say, man, I was a feeling down. But thank God I'm a feeling better now, amen." I mean, I'm about to preach myself happy again, amen. I mean, ain't it good when you walk in and we're beat down, but when you walk out and you say, "Man, I just feel refreshed, amen." Boy, it stirs my heart. I tell you, it's good. Listen, not only can an individual be it. I mean, if you say, "Brother Kevin, I don't got nothing to do." Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. Hey, you ought to find somebody who looks like they need to be refreshed and go refresh them, amen. And sometimes you just got to run them down and thank God and just remind them that the Lord still loves them. But I thought about this. You remember old young Timothy over there in 2 Corinthians? And the Bible talks about the Apostle Paul when he wrote the letter. He talked about how Timothy was refreshed by the whole church. Hey, now listen to me. I mean, he walked into the church and we get to talking like, we'll say, "Well, it's a pretty dry around here." You know, when it was dry, it was dry in Timothy's day, amen. And it was dry in Jeremiah's day, and it was dry in Noah's day, and it was dry in Jesus' day. But thank God, there's a few places where the water's still flowing, amen. I want to say this. I want you to listen to me, friend. I mean, thank God. Wouldn't you like to be a church where folks walk in and they're just refreshed by the whole church, amen? Ain't that a blessing, thank God? Hey, it can happen, amen. Hey, now I want you to listen to me and hear me. I mean, I'm talking about when folks just, I mean, they get around the place. You understand, every preacher that I get to preach, now listen to me. I've probably shared this with you before, but it'll do you good to hear it again. Have these two kinds of preachers I get to come preach. Have the kind that can help us and the kind that we can help them, amen. And that's right, thank God. Have some folks that I get to come preach, I don't know if they'll help us or not. But I know this, some of them I get to come preach, and now I'm sharing my heart with you right here, and this will help you, and you'll say, "Oh, Brother Kevin, that fellow there, he wasn't much of a preacher. He didn't do too much of preaching." Well, I'll tell you, I might have got him to come, and not because I thought he was going to preach the paint off the walls. I might have got him to come because I knew he was in the battle of his life, and I thought that the people of God might sick him on a little bit, might get behind him preaching, and before very long, he might say, "Man, I'm glad to be in that church, amen." Hey, thank God. So you just get behind the preaching because you don't know what's going on all the time, amen. Good to be in a friendly place. Good to be, thank God. Listen, I'm glad to be in a place where one side can fellowship with the other side. Say amen right there. Hey, man, I fellowship with everybody in this church, and I try to every time I'm here. Hey, man, and I want to say this to you. If you can't fellowship with everybody in this church, you're to quit trying to worship around it and just go get right with them and get things fixed up. And then all of a sudden, they'll get friendly with you again, amen. Hey, man, I thank God that was for free, not in the message, amen. I'm just saying simply this. It's good to have fellowship. Bible says we ought to. Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. I thank God for a unified church. Don't you thank God for that? I'm just simply saying this. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this. As the Lord just brings it to my memory. You know what it said about Onesiphorus? It said, "He oft refreshed me." Hey, now listen, hold on to your seats right here. You know you can actually be kind to somebody more than one time. You can encourage somebody more than one time. You ain't got to just say, "Well, I sent them a text message 6 months ago and encouraged their heart." Hey, you know what? You might need to send them one every day. Hey, man, listen, let me say this to you. Hey, it was a lady, she's done gone on, went to heaven to be with the Lord. Her name was Ann. I can't remember her last name. Hey, just an old saint of God used to come in the drugstore. Me and her used to fellowship around the Lord. And whenever I broke my neck, I want you to listen to me. That stirred my heart. My wife would attest that I still got them somewhere. When I broke my neck, every single week, for about 16 weeks, I got a card in the mail and said, hey, this is Ann. Just wanted you to know I was praying for you. And on Monday, I got another one. And the next Monday, I got another one. And the next Monday, I got another one. And it got to the place that after I was healed, and she came in the drugstore, and I hadn't gotten one in a couple of weeks. And I said, Miss Ann, I said, what happened to my cards? And she said, you're healed, ain't you? I said, I'm going to tell you. Thank God. It'd almost be worth breaking my neck for again. I mean, listen, it stirred my heart. And somebody was interested. And just refreshing my spirit, amen. Just kept on doing it. Ain't that a blessing? Now listen, I want you to ask yourself, are you the kind of shipmate that somebody thinks, man, when I get around them, boy, it refreshes my soul? When's the last time you thought to yourself, boy, I'm going to try to refresh somebody? Hey, man, I thought about doing this, and I'm not going to. But I thought about it, and if the Lord would have given me liberty, I would have. I really prayed diligently, and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, you know how we know how to encourage? It's whoever's going through a storm. And sometimes it'd probably be good just to say, who else going through a storm? Raise your hand. Now, don't raise it, all right? Lord didn't give me liberty to ask that. But it'd be good sometimes just to say, who else going through a storm? And everybody who is, just raise their hand up, and let everybody else say, all right, we've got a mark dead to rights. Thank God we know who we're going to encourage. And we'll just divide up and conquer and make sure that every single day that as much as the devil's pouring it on one side, the people of God is refreshing it on the other side. Don't you think that'd be right? I think it'd be good. Don't you think so? All right, listen. I'm talking about Paul the centurion. We find Paul the courteous. I want you to look with me in verse number 6. This might be the only sad note we hit all night. All right. Verse number 6, it says, and there the centurion. Well, that all depends on us and the Lord. All right. But he said, there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us therein. I thought about this. We find in this, not only we see at Julius the centurion, at Julius the courteous, but here I find Julius the conductor. He made sure that Paul got on the right ship, and he stayed on it. Amen. Hey, listen, I want you to hear me today. You know what's real good about the church? It's a place, thank God, where you can go to, and folks will make sure that you're staying on the right ship. Amen. And the Bible literally says this, Trent. It says that Julius put him on the right ship. He said he put him there yet. I got to thinking about that. Aren't you glad for folks that just come by? What that's called, Scotty, is accountability. Amen. Hey, you can ask any one of these fellas right here. Questions usually go like this. Hey, Brother Scotty, what are you studying on? Amen. Hey, Brother Ty, what have you been reading on? Amen. What have you been studying on? Hey, Brother Wayne, what have you been studying on? That's what I like to talk about. What have you been studying on? What have you been studying on? And you know what I think? I think I ought to be able to ask any man in this church how to say, stand up and tell us what you've been studying on. And everybody in this church ought to have something on their heart that they've been studying on. Y'all think that's right or not? Yeah. Don't you think that's right? Have to listen now over there in the old Bible, and I never found where God done away with it. He said, when you get up in the morning, meditate on it, tell it to your children. He said, at noonday, thank God, tell it to them. And they wrote it on the doors whenever they walked out, so they had it on their mind. They hung it around phylacteries about their head. That's what the Word of God was ever before them. And when they laid down at night, they was talking about it. It looks like to me like God wants us to be studying in His Word. Amen. And you come in the house of God, and you go through that, and you have those conversations, and sometimes they're not pleasant, but I want you to listen to me. It was not pleasant whenever Nathan had to walk up to David and say, thou art the man. Boy, that wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant in Galatians chapter 2 when the Apostle Peter had to be withstood face to face by the Apostle Paul. But I'll tell you this, I'll guarantee you that David would lift up his hand and say, thank God for Nathan. Amen. I promise you that Peter would lift up his hand and say, thank God for Paul. Amen. I mean, now listen, friend, it's good to come in the house of God where somebody's going to follow up and make sure that we're doing what we ought to do. And we're not trying to lord over God's hair. inheritance. That's not the point. That's not the purpose. But it's good to come to the house of God, where you get in a place where you get challenged to make sure you're in the right boat and going the right way. Amen. Don't you think that's right? And if you ain't, I'll tell you this. I want somebody. Now, you might not want this, but I want somebody. If you see Kevin Sexton getting the wrong way, going to the wrong places, and you're part of the church, and you love me, or you say you love me,
yeah,
and you don't come up to me and say, "Now, Brother Kevin, listen, you probably ought not be heading right there." Amen? You see me, and I mean, I'm being honest with you. You say, "Now, Brother Kevin, that right there might hurt the cause of Christ." I might not have ever seen it, but the Lord might let you in on it. And if the Lord lets you in on it, and you know that it's a hurt in the church and you don't tell me about it, how about, thank God, far as I'm concerned, you're guilty by association. Amen, thank God. Hey, you're a co-conspirator. I'll tell you what we ought to do though, thank God. In love, I'm talking about in love, friend. It ought to be a place we come to the house of God and we know we're going to be challenged. And if we get off track or we get out of the boat, and somebody says, "Hey, better get back on the boat." Now, folks say they like that, but they really don't. Amen. Well, now, listen, I'm trying to stay encouraging here. Folks say, "Now, Brother Kevin, that's what I want. That's what I want," until you do it. Then they don't want it no more. Amen. Ain't that right? And you say, "Well, what do you do then?" You keep doing it anyhow. Keep doing it. Hey, so many folks got hurt, but I want you to listen to me. You hear me today. I mean, we stand in this thing, we're trying to do it out of love to help one another. Not, listen, I'm being honest with you. I ain't never looked at somebody. I ain't never called nobody or visited nobody that when I went to their house, I thought, "I'm here to show them that I'm more spiritual than they are." Y'all listen to me? Never walked in the jail and I thought, "Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm here because I'm super spiritual and they ain't." I'll tell you what I know. I know any one of them places I'm apt to be before the daybreak. And I sure enough like to think, "Hey, somebody going to come help me." Listen, I'm going to have to move on quickly. Y'all done quit listening to me. I'm going to have to move on quickly. Watch what your Bible says here. We find that he's a conductor that's going to follow up. But I want you to watch in verse 11. This helps me. It may not do nothing for you. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things spoken by Paul." We find that Julius was confused. I'll tell you what this reminds me of. It reminds me he's still in the flesh. Look over to your right and to your left and be reminded that whoever you're serving God with next to you, they're still in their flesh. Amen. And you know what that means, friend? That means there's going to be times, thank God, they're probably going to act like they're in the flesh. Amen. Is that right or not right? Amen. How we come to the house of God and we say, "Oh, how we're all so spiritual." I'm going to tell you this, you're still in your flesh. Amen. I'm still in my flesh. We're not always going to get it right. But aren't you glad we can, if I'm talking about if your heart gets right with God, how you're able to overlook somebody's flesh and because of the love you have for them. That's what the Bible says. It says charity covereth a multitude. I said, listen, what that means is, He's not talking about the love on the cross in that instant. He's talking about our love for one another. And so, in other words, Allison overlooks a lot of my faults and my failures because of how much she loves me. And when I got put in the body of Christ, I love the body of Christ so much, I look over and say, "Scotty, I mean, you may have, we may have fleshly issues, but I love him and he loves me." We don't. Listen, we don't really, all right? Let me use Brother Savage. Hey, Brother Savage, man, you may have, we're in our flesh. We may disagree. There may be points of that. But thank God, I'm glad I can still worship and go on with the church. Amen. Folks act like somebody hurt their feelings 32 years ago and they've been mad at the church ever since. That's nonsense. You kidding me? Going to go to the house of God. Anybody in there? Listen, we can all raise our hands right here. Anybody in here ever had your feelings hurt by somebody in the church? Let's pull an Uno card on that one. Anybody in here not had your feelings hurt by somebody in the church? Go ahead and stand up and testify about it. That's probably what I figured. And yet we're still here. And you know what? Some of the very same people that hurt me at one point in time were some of the people that helped me later on. Yeah. Hey, y'all listen to me. Thank God. You better hang around the ship. Oh, Julius may look pretty rough, but he's a softening up as this story goes on. He's got faults and failures,
But thank God he's still on the same boat you're on. I want you to watch this now. Stay with me. Stay with me. You ought to be thanking God that sometimes when we get confused and get in our flesh, God don't just write us off. Maybe it don't help you. Boy, I like Jonah. And I'm going to be honest with you, I like it when Jonah messes up. I like it when he goes down, down, down. I can relate to him going down, down, down more than I can him going over into Nineveh and preaching to a whole bunch of people that hate him. I can relate sometimes more to him running than I can the way we preach like he ought to just obeyed.
Yeah.
You just go. Won't you just go, thank God.
Amen.
Somebody help me, amen. We'll say, well, he ought to just go. Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. Thank God you just ought to go up and land right dab smack in the middle of Taliban, Pakistan, and preach to them, amen. Not interested in doing that all of a sudden. What do you do then? You go down, down, down. I love Peter. I'm going to be honest with you. Whenever Peter starts failing the Lord and denying him, I find more of myself in that story than I ever find. I ain't getting out of that boat, and you probably ain't either. I'd like to think I would. Reality is, I'm not getting out of that boat. Don't listen to me. Let's not kid ourselves. We ain't going to get out of a boat if we ain't even going to get out of our pew. Amen. Say, boy, I'd walk on the water. No, you won't. Amen. Thank God. You won't even get up and sing a special song when God puts it on your heart. Won't even stand up and testify when God gouges you right then. You're going to tell me you're going to get out of the boat and walk on the water? No, no, no. That water walking, that's up there. That denying the Lord, though. You ever been in that place where the Lord needed you the most and you knew it, and instead of standing up for him, you just sat down? Oh my, I can relate to that. I'll tell you who I can relate to. I can relate to old John Mark. I can relate to John Mark getting afraid and saying, I'm tucking tail and I'm heading back to the house. Sometimes we all get in our flesh. But I'm glad that's not the end of Jonah's story. It's not the end of Peter's story. And it's not the end of Mark's story. Praise God. I could run pews on that. Amen. I'm just saying you might start off in your flesh and get a little mixed up. But before very long, we find this thing standing. Watch what your Bible says. Let me give you just a few more here. Verse number 31. Look at it with me. I'm going to give you all six of these. If the Lord will help us. Bible said, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes off the boat. I find here we see old Julius the courageous. He's a fighter. I love what he does right here. When people's getting ready to jump ship, he goes to extreme means to make sure they can't. Y'all listening? They're getting ready to abandon ship. And old Julius said, I'll tell you what, if you're going to do that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut off the boats on the side and make sure you can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Are you hearing me? I know sometimes the storm seems like it'd be a good time to just hop off.
Yep.
But if there's ever a time to just hunker down, batten down the hatch. Ain't that that's a good Navy term, ain't it, Mary? Batten down the buttons or hatches or something like that. They button down something. Be a good time. When things are falling apart the seams, just say, okay. You look over and you see somebody and they're about to head overboard. They got that far away look in their eye. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They got that far away look and that disconnected from church look. Can't get hooked up with the songs no more. Can't get hooked up with the preaching no more. Can't get hooked up with the service no more. They got that faraway look, just off into nothing. I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to mark them people and do everything you can to make sure you cut off every exit because the devil's about to snatch them up. You remember in John chapter 6, verse 66, whenever it said, from that time forth, me and the disciples turned away and they walked no more with him. Then he turned to the 12 and he said, will you also go away? And you remember what they said? Peter said, to whom shall we go? Now that's the words of eternal life. Why in the world do you want to get off this ship? Why in the world would you want to go back out there? I'm just simply saying this. We need some fighters in this thing. We've got a lot of, we got some friendly people. We got some faithful people. We got some folks that follow up. What about some folks who will just fight for some things? There arose another generation which knew not how to fight. Well, we're in it. Know how to do a lot of things, don't know much about fighting. I ain't talking about with these. I'm talking about down here. Down here. Really trying to get a hold of God for some things. We need some folks that'll fight. Last thing, y'all watch your Bibles. I'm done. I really thought I'd preach a long time. Maybe I have. I don't know. Here's what the Bible says. You get in a time warp when you preach and you don't know how long it's been. I'll be honest with you. Verse number 43. Watch what your Bible says. It says, but the centurion, they're getting ready to kill Paul and all 276 of them. He said, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea, get to the land, the rest on boards and some on broken pieces. I want to finish this up with, whenever I'm talking about the church that'll help you ride out the storm, I thank God for Julius the Caring. Aren't you glad for some caring people that want to make sure you finish well? I'll tell you what they did. On one side, there's some folks standing over here trying to kill Paul. And then old Julius, somewhere in the middle of that, he steps in between them. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that he's protected. And I don't know if you understand some of that stuff or not. Some of our youngins, look up here at me. Some of you youngins, look up here. You're waiting until you get old to serve God, but I'll tell you when you ought to serve him. Bible says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. You know why that is? Because you got a mom and a dad. And they're standing up and they're taking all the fiery darts for the wicked so you can just go in and serve God. You can read your Bible without having to worry about bills. Somebody help me. You can pray to God with a free heart without worrying about enemies. You can worship the Lord without having to worry about troubles. Because you got a mom, you got a dad. Some folks, they got a grandma, they got a grandpa, they got an aunt, they got an uncle, they may just have a pew member. Sheila, Dustin's got a pew member. He got Benny and Sheila. And they're standing up there and their responsibility is to just stand and protect them so that they can just keep on serving God. I don't want to be in a church that's not a caring place. It's good to be here. But boy, if you don't care nothing for the folks that's around you, this ain't a church. They do that up at the local biker club. They meet, they got their own dress code, they listen to their own music, they got their own speaker. You know what they ain't got? They ain't got the Holy Ghost of God and folks that love one another. Y'all listen to me? I mean, I'm just simply saying this. I want to see folks finish well, don't you? Don't you want to finish well? I mean, I'm talking about check out this thing saying, for I am now ready to be offering time my departure is at hand. I want to finish that kind of well. I tell you what you can do. You ought to care as much about you finishing well as you care about Trent and Braden finishing well. And if you see them out and they doing what they ain't supposed to be doing, y'all love them enough to help them. And I ain't saying they are. I'm just simply saying that's what a church is about. I love the church. I love the church. I love this local assembly. I love the people in it, not the building. Buildings, bricks and mortars and stones and concrete. Special building, consecrated building. But it's a building. The church is right here. Us. Amen. I've cleared my heart. Let's stand our feet. Let me ask you this. I mean, I'm simply asking. When we go through all those things, are you one of them folks? Are you one of them folks are you friendly? Are you faithful? Following up? Want to see folks finish well? Willing to fight for somebody else? Are you those things? Well, I'll tell you this. If you're not, there'd be no better time than today to say, I want to be that. And I'll promise you this. If we all are that for each other, it's just untelling what God might do. Untelling what God might do. Go ahead and play whatever you're going to play. If you need to pray, pray. I'm just trying to encourage the church of God tonight.